Amen. All right, well, we're there in Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Usually on Wednesday nights, we are going through, we do Bible study, and we go through a book of the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We, not too long ago, finished the book of Ezekiel, and we haven't started a new book yet. We had Pastor Grayson Fritz, of course, come preach, then we had the harvest party, and we're going to probably start a book of the Bible next week and be in the book of Ephesians. We'll start studying that line upon line. But tonight, what I want to do is preach just a kind of a standalone sermon, something that I thought would be helpful for our church family. And actually, this weekend on Friday, if you'd pray for me, I'm going to be preaching in North Carolina. My son Joel and I are going to be flying out to North Carolina. The church there, Temple Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina, is celebrating their 20-year anniversary, and they asked me to come out and be a guest speaker. This is actually the sermon I'm preaching there. I wrote the sermon for them, and then I thought to myself, man, you know, our church family would probably benefit from hearing this truth as well. So I want to share it with you, which is why we're not live streaming tonight also, because I'm going to preach the sermon on Friday night. So you get to hear it first, I guess, or get the preview. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you look at verse number 1, the Bible says this, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." And I want you to notice that in this passage, God is explaining to the children of Israel that he is going to give them the land for a possession, that he's going to help them enter the land, take the land. He says that he's going to cast out all these nations, that he's going to deliver them before thee, and that they are nations that are mightier and greater than them. Notice verse 17. He says, "If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt." So he's telling them, you don't have to be afraid. I'm going to help you with this. This is going to be what's going to happen. This is the will of God. But I want you to notice in verse 21, then he says this. He says, "And thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee." And I want you to notice this phrase. He says, "by little and little." He said, he just got done telling them, "I'm going to give you the land. I don't want you to be afraid of the fact. You don't need to doubt it. You don't need to be scared. It's going to happen. These nations are mightier. These nations are greater, but it will come to pass." But then he tells them, "but I want you to understand something, that it's not going to happen overnight." He says, "I'm going to give it to you by little and little." Notice what he says, "thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee." So God says, "I'm going to give you the land, but it's not going to happen immediately. It's going to happen over time. It's going to take time for you to be able to come in and conquer the land and take it." Now, go ahead and keep your place there in Deuteronomy. We're going to come back to it. But go ahead and look at Matthew just real quickly. Matthew chapter 4 in the New Testament. Obviously, it should be fairly easy to find. Matthew chapter 4. And I want you to understand that in the Bible, there's this concept, and not just in the Bible, in life, in the world, and just looking around, you would understand this, that anything of value takes time. Anything of value takes time. And things that are of no value, anything of no value, doesn't take time. Things that are worthless, that are of no value, they happen quickly, right? And if you think of like a gardening illustration, of course, if you have a big, strong tree that produces fruit, it's going to take time for that tree to take root, for that tree to grow, for that tree to produce. But when you think of something that's worthless, like a weed, it'll spring up overnight. And the Bible teaches this. In fact, Jesus taught this in the famous parable of the sower. You're there in, I'm sorry, did I tell you to go to Matthew? I need to go to Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, Matthew, Mark chapter 4, and look at verse number 16. Notice what the Bible says. Mark chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves. So notice, they receive the word, but they have no root in themselves. And notice what it says, so endure, but for a time. He says they endure, but just for a short amount of time, not for a long period of time. He says they endure, but it's not very long. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the world's for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, go with me to the book of Isaiah, just real quickly. Isaiah, go ahead and keep your place in Deuteronomy. We're going to go back to it. But if you go to the last part of the Old Testament, you've got those major prophets there. You've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. And tonight I'm preaching on the subject of the value of consistency. The value of consistency. Because what you need to understand about the Christian life is that the way that there is victory in the Christian life and the way that we conquer in the Christian life is not... it's not done overnight. It happens by little and little. It happens, through time. And the way to win in the Christian life, the way to succeed in the Christian life, the way to be a success in the Christian life is to develop consistency in your life. Because things that are weak will not last. But things that are strong take time. They take time to produce. And the reason I wanted to preach the sermon at the 20-year anniversary of our church is because that church has been consistent. They've stood consistently for time. I'm thankful that our church, next year we'll be celebrating 10 years, and for a decade we'll have been consistently going at it and staying at it. I hope we stay at it for another 10 years, and another 10 years after that, and another 10 years after that. And what you need to understand is that there is value in consistency, and I think sometimes we don't think about that, or we don't realize that. If you're there in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, go to Isaiah 28. And let me begin, and I've got 3 points or 3 thoughts for you tonight. Point number one is this. I want to talk to you about the accomplishment of consistency. And here's what I mean by that is, what is it that consistency accomplishes? Why is it that consistency is so important? And here's what you already know, but I want to maybe help you just think of it. When we think of consistency, there's a positive to consistency. And here's what we already know, is, and it's this, that there is no immediate benefit to any single installment of time into any particular activity all on its own. Isn't that true? And I know I said that kind of quickly. Let me say it again. There is no immediate benefit to any single installment of time into any particular activity all on its own, right? You decide you want to lose some weight, and you're going to start exercising, and you go and get on that treadmill, and you get, you know, you're huffing, and you're puffing, and you're out of breath, and 3 minutes later, you know, you get off the treadmill, and you look in the mirror, and you say, it didn't work, right? What happened? I didn't lose any weight. And we know that there is no immediate benefit to any single installment of time and to any particular activity all on its own, right? I mean, just going and exercising one time, one installment, one investment of time into exercising is not going to have a benefit. You're not going to drop a size in your dress, right? Or you're not going to drop in the measurement of your waist. You're not going to lose any weight, because here's the truth about consistency, and here's why we sometimes struggle with it, is because there really is no immediate benefit to any single installment of time in any particular activity. But here is the truth, though. There is, however, a cumulative value to investing a small amount of time into a specific activity over a long period of time. See, the value with exercise is not that you go and do it one time, but when you go and consistently exercise day after day, week after week, we know this, that there is a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time into specific activities over a long period of time. And this is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Bible says. Are you there in Isaiah 28? Look at verse 10. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10. Isaiah 28 and verse 10, the Bible says this, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. And here's what God is telling us. God is teaching us. He's telling us, this is how you learn. This is how you learn the Bible. This is how you grow. This is how you grow in your Christian life. You say, does it just happen overnight? I just get saved, and I just get growing, and I'm good to go. No, here's how it happens. Precept upon precept. Precept must be upon precept. precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Don't miss this. Here a little and there a little. Why? Because there is no immediate benefit to any single installment of time. Please understand this. There really is no immediate benefit. And I hope this makes sense to you, and I'm not down on church. Obviously, I'm the pastor of a church, but there really is no immediate benefit to any one service you go to in regards to being in the house of God and being in the church of God. I always think it's funny, and I don't laugh, of course, because you don't want to do that. But people will show up to church, and they're like, "My life is falling apart, my marriage is falling apart, my kids this or whatever," and they're like, "So I came to church." And then they come to church and it's like nothing happened. And you tell them, there really is no immediate benefit to any single installment of time in church. But there is, however, a cumulative value to investing a small amount of time week after week, month after month, year after year, because the Bible says that we grow precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Notice verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And here's what we know. What we know is this, that there is a positive effect to consistency, because though there is no immediate benefit to any single installment of time, we do know that there is a cumulative value when we choose to invest small amounts of time into any specific activity. You know that. You understand that. We get that. We get that when it comes to exercise. We get that when it comes to dieting. We get that when it comes to those things. But here's something that you may not consider, or you may not have considered, and it's this, that there's also a negative aspect to consistency. And the negative aspect to consistency is this, that there is no immediate consequence to missing any single installment of time into any activity all on its own. Right? There is no immediate consequence to skipping the exercise time, to cheating on your diet, to not doing whatever you said you were going to do. The problem with consistency is that there's no, when we skip it, when we don't do it, when we fail, there's no immediate consequence to missing any single installment of time into any particular activity over a length of time. However, there are accumulative consequences to neglecting small amounts of time into certain activities over a long period of time. See, here's the thing. Let me talk to you dads for a minute. There is no negative effect if from time to time, and I'm not even against you doing this. I do this from time to time. I think it's fine. There is no negative effect to working late and working overtime and missing dinner with the family and coming home and your kids are already in bed. When you do that every once in a while, there is no immediate consequence to missing any single installment of time into any activity all on its own. But I'll tell you something. You do that consistently enough, you'll lose your kids. You do that consistently enough, you'll lose your marriage. You do that consistently enough, people say, "Oh, well, I'll just skip church on a Wednesday night, or I'll just skip church on a Sunday night, or I'll just skip church on a Sunday morning." And here's the truth. There is no immediate consequence to neglecting anything. I just won't read the Bible today. I just won't go soul winning this week. I just won't take care of that responsibility. There is no immediate consequence to missing any single installment of time all on its own. But there is, however, accumulative consequences when we neglect small amounts of time into certain activities over a long period of time. Ignoring your wife might not have a consequence the one time or the two, second time or the third time, but you do it long enough, you'll end up divorced. Skipping Bible reading is not going to have an effect on your life particularly, but you do it long enough, you'll end up backslidden. See, the power of consistency lies in its compounding value. It lies in the fact that it happens over time, here a little, there a little. Amen. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. See, the achievement, what we attain through consistency, is the fact that its power happens through a long period of time. So then the next logical question would be this, and there's point number two for you. Go with me to Daniel chapter number one. If you're there in Isaiah, you got Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter number one. We talked about the accomplishment of consistency. The accomplishment of consistency is the fact that there's a cumulative value. There's a cumulative value in investing a small amount of time into any particular activity. And the flip side of that is that there is also accumulative consequences to neglecting small amounts of time into any certain activity over a long period. So you say, well, now that you put it that way, Pastor, maybe I won't skip my exercise routine tomorrow. Now that you put it that way, maybe I will read the Bible. Now you put it that way, maybe I'll make an effort to be home for dinner. Now that you put it that way, so how do we develop consistency? Because consistency is difficult to develop because of the fact that there is no immediate consequence. So how do we do it? Two words, routine and repetition.
Amen.
Routine and repetition. See, the way that we develop a consistent life is by developing a routine. Are you there in Daniel 1? Notice verse 8. I want you to notice this young man, Daniel. He's away from his parents. He's living in a kingdom that is not a kingdom of God. And the Bible says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want you to notice that Daniel purposed in his heart. See, he already had an answer to the question. He already knew what was going to happen. He already knew and he understood. If this happens, here's how I'll respond. I won't react, but I'll respond. Why? Because people who live consistent lives live a life of routine. A routine is a customary or regular course of action or procedure. And here's all I'm telling you. If you want to reap the benefits of a cumulative investment into any relationship, whether it's God or your wife or your husband or your children, whether it's your business or whatever it might be, you're going to have to develop and learn how to develop a life of routine. And here's all that means. You're going to have to put your decisions on autopilot. Daniel purposed in his heart. Before he was ever asked to drink, before he was ever tempted to do, before he ever had the opportunity to, he already knew how he would respond. He doesn't have to react. He would respond because his life was on a routine. Go to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter 11 in the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 11, look at verse 23. Acts chapter number 11 and verse 23. Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, the Bible says this, who when he came, this is of course Paul on a missionary journey, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. And notice what it says, with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. He exhorted them that they, with purpose of heart, they would cleave. So not that they would just cleave unto the Lord, but that they would do it with purpose or on purpose, that they would make a decision to cleave unto the Lord. See, there are some areas in your life where you need to just get on autopilot, where you need to just already purpose in your heart and say, here's what I'm going to do. When I get up in the morning, here's what I do. I don't make a decision. I don't get up in the morning and decide, am I going to check Facebook? Am I going to check my email? Am I going to read the newspaper? No, I've already decided when I get up in the morning, I'm going to grab my Bible. I'm going to head downstairs. I'm going to grab a cup of coffee. I'm going to open up the Bible and I'm going to read it. It's not up for debate. It's just a routine. Amen. It's something that's already been purposed. It's already been decided. See, you don't decide on Sunday morning, am I going to church? You just put that thing on autopilot and say, when the church house is open, we're in church. Amen. It's Sunday morning, what are we doing? What do we do every Sunday morning? Go to church. What we do every Sunday night, go to church. What we do every Wednesday night, go to church. Why? Because people who live lives of consistency, people who live lives of consistency live lives of routine. And you say, but routine sounds so boring. Yes. But when you live a life of consistency, there's a cumulative value at the end of that. When you invest small amount of time into any activity. But see, it's not just enough to have routine. Routine is where you tell yourself, this is what I will do. This is how I will respond. This is how I will act. This is what will happen when so-and-so says something or when this situation occurs. This is what will happen when at work I'm given this choice. I've already decided. I've already purposed in my heart. And here's what it means. It means I'm living on purpose. I'm living with purpose. There's a second word, and the second word is this, repetition. See, it's not just enough to have routine, but then you have to put that routine into action, and over time, and over time, and over time, and over time, as you repeat it, and as you repeat it, you develop a habit that allows you to live a life of consistency. You see, repetition is the act of doing, saying, or writing something again and again and again. And here's all I'm telling you. Successful people, whether it's in spiritual matters or in business or whatever, they've learned to just do the same thing over and over and over again. And notice, we see this in the Bible. We see the Apostle Paul, Acts 17. Are you there? Look at verse 2. Acts chapter 17 and verse 2. Notice what the Bible says. You're there in Acts 11 if you flip over to Acts 17. Notice what the Bible says about the Apostle Paul. And Paul, notice these words, as his manner was. You see the word manner there? It means a prevailing custom or habit. It means this is what he did on a regular basis. It was a routine. He was on autopilot, and it was what he did every time. It was routine and repetition. It was routine and repetition. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Go to Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 18. And there we're talking about Paul's evangelistic life for soul winning. His soul winning was as his manner was. His spiritual life could be dictated as routine and repetition. This guy does the same thing every time. Does the same thing every week. No matter where he is, no matter where he goes, he's got a certain manner, a custom, or a habit. Acts 20, look at verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, notice what he says, after what manner, after what prevailing custom or habit, after what routine and repetition, I have been with you at, don't miss it, all seasons. That's consistency. He was consistent at all seasons. Even football season, even football season. Even baseball season, he showed up to church during baseball season and basketball season. He showed up on Super Bowl Sunday. Why? Because he was consistent at all seasons, at all times. Even when the sun goes down sooner, even then. Even when it gets colder, even when it rains, we're so spoiled as Californians. When it rains, good night. People skip out on church because it's raining. Are you made out of sugar? I mean, what in the world? Do you know there's places where it snows? Anyway, go to Luke chapter 4. You're there in Acts if you head back. Acts, John, Luke. Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 16. We see that Paul lived his life with a certain manner, as his manner was. He said, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Luke chapter 4, look at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This is talking about Jesus. Notice what it says. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. See, Jesus lived his life. Jesus, who impacted the world like no man, and we understand that he was a God-man, ever did. But yet he lived his life with routine and repetition. He had a custom about him. He had a manner. The word custom means a habitual practice. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, look at verse 23. And this Jesus, who had a daily routine, and a daily flow of his life, he says this in Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, he said, if any man will come after me, he said, if you want to follow me, you want to be successful in the Christian life, you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, but don't miss this, daily. Just every day. And follow me. You say, why? Because if you're going to attain consistency, it's going to happen when you understand routine and repetition. A routine to my life. A purpose to my life. This is what we do. This is how we respond. This is when before the questions asked, when your family, your extended family or whatever, and they say, hey, we were going to go to the lake on Sunday morning. What do you think? You have to sit there and think about it. You're on autopilot. Hey, you know what? That's our church time. Well, when else could we go? Hey, how about we all skip out on work and let's go on Monday, but we're not going to skip out on the house of God. We've got that on autopilot. We've got that on routine. We've got that on repetition. We're living a consistent life. Well, why would you do that? Because there's a cumulative value to raising your kids on routine and repetition. There's a cumulative value to having a marriage based on routine and repetition. There's a cumulative value to having your health, to having your finances, to having your business, to having anything you can think of set up on routine and repetition. Go back to Acts just real quickly, Acts chapter 20. We talked about the accomplishment of consistency. What is it? It's the fact that there's a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time into specific activities over a long period of time. And if you say, well, I don't really care about that, I'm not interested in that, well, you better decide what you think about it, because on the flip side, if you don't think about it, you will suffer the fact that there is accumulative consequences to neglecting small amounts of time into certain activities over a long period of time. So if you don't want the consequences and you want the success, you need to get on a routine, on a repetition. But here's what I'd like to do for the rest of the sermon, and sounds like I'm done, but I'm not being done. And I want to just give you some areas to consider when it comes to consistency. Now, you can apply this to any area. And you can apply it to all areas. But I'm going to give you five areas, biblical areas, spiritual areas to consider when it comes to consistency. The first one is this, and I realize I'm preaching to the choir. We're here on a Wednesday night. But it is your church attendance. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 18. Acts 20 and verse 18. We saw it already. But Paul said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. He says, I gathered with the people of God. I spent time with the people of God at all seasons. He said, you know what manner I have been with you. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. You don't have to turn there. You know the verse. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Here's what's interesting. As the manner of some is. See, the truth is this, that you either are accumulating the value of investing a small amount of time into any activity, or you are accumulating the consequences of neglecting to invest a small amount of time into any activity. Because here, God tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Put the assembling of yourselves together on a routine, on repetition. Why? Because he says, as the manner of some is. He said, some people have the habit. Some people have the prevailing custom. Some people have a manner of them that is always forsaking the assembling of themselves together. You say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is this, that there are accumulative consequences to neglecting the house of God. So when it comes to your church attendance, here's all I'm telling you. Here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Put it on routine and repetition. Develop, like Paul said, a manner of your life that when you don't show up to church on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday night or on a Sunday morning, people will look around and say, where's brother so-and-so? Is he dead? Where's sister so-and-so? She must be sick. They must be in the hospital. I mean, they never miss. Something must have happened. Live your life in such a way that people would look and say, there is somebody of consistency. There is somebody of routine and repetition. Go to Deuteronomy 17. If you kept your place there, I asked you to keep your place there. I'm not sure if you did. Deuteronomy 17. We're talking about areas of consistency. When is your church attendance? When is your church attendance? You gotta have a consistency about you. And listen to me, mom and dad, you need to instill this into the life of your children. I think I've told you the story before. I don't know if I've told it here, if I've told it out traveling, but that's one thing I'm thankful for. My growing up with my mom and dad, there was never a question: are we going to church on a Sunday night? It was just a known thing. I remember we used to play baseball. We were in Little League, and they'd have games on Wednesday night. Now they have games on Sundays, you know, they didn't used to do that when I was a kid, but they'd have games on Wednesday night, and the game would start at 5 p.m., and it was just a known thing. Game starts at 5, and right about 6:30, 6:35, start packing your stuff, you know, and because we're going to get to church, and we're in the seventh inning. No, we go to church. That decision has already been made. That's not up for debate. And you say, did that bother you as a kid growing up that you didn't get to finish? You know, I'm sure it did. But you know what? I don't play baseball today, but you know what I do? I go to church. Amen. And I'm thankful for the fact that there were some parents who instilled in it. And I just knew, I knew, man, we'll miss school. We never miss school. And we never miss work. And we never miss anything. You know, we're just consistent in everything. But I knew this, if we're going to miss anything, it's not church. Amen. Because church was on a routine. It was on a repetition. It was a priority. It was an area of consistency. You got to put that in your consistency area. Here's another one, Bible reading. Deuteronomy 17, look at verse 18. And it shall be when he, this is talking about this is Moses giving instructions for the future king of Israel. He says, when he stirreth upon the throne of his kingdom, I'm sorry, good night, stir it. Sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law, talking about the word of God, in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Notice verse 19. And it shall be with him, talking about the Bible, and he shall read therein, notice what it says, all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. Here he's instructed, he's told, you are to read the Bible all the days of your life. You say, well, why? Why does it matter? Here's why it matters. Because there's a cumulative value. There's an accumulative advantage to investing a small amount of time into reading your Bible. And he tells us, if you read the Bible every day, all the days of your life, here's what will happen. It says that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. And to keep all the words of this law and these statutes. And then he says this, to do them. You know, there's value to Bible reading. You got to do it every day. You got to put it on a routine and on repetition. That'll be something you do on a regular basis. Go to Acts 17. I'm not sure if I asked you to keep your place there in Acts. But if you'd make your way there. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. You got to read the Bible every day. You got to be consistent in that. And you say, well, it's not that, you know, sometimes I, and here's how most Christians live their lives, most people that have not developed a consistency of Bible reading, here's how they live their lives. They don't read the Bible, they feel guilty, then they finally open up the Bible and they just read, you know, what they think is a lot. You know, like six Psalms. And they're like, oh man, I really got into the Word today, you know. And then they go, maybe they'll read 12 chapters of something, or they'll read a lot, and then they'll, fall off the wagon, and they'll read a lot. Look, do you realize that if you just got up, and I'm not telling you that this is all you need to do, but if you got up and just read the proverb of the day consistently, you'd get more out of it. You just did it every day. And I'm not telling you proverb of the day is all you need to be reading, but if you're reading zero, proverb of the day would be good. And you say, you know, and do that for a while, and then maybe step it up to 3 chapters a day. And maybe step it up to 4 or 5 or 6 chapters or whatever. Get to the point. Get yourself a Bible charted. Read enough to get through the Bible once a year. But here's all I'm telling you. You ought to be consistent in your Christian life when it comes to your church attendance. And you ought to be consistent when it comes to your Bible reading. It should just be on routine and repetition. You should already, look, and this is what I tell people all the time. People ask me about Bible reading or I preach on it or whatever. We tell people, the advice we give people is this: choose a place, choose a time. Just choose a place where you're going to read the Bible. Choose a time when you're going to read a Bible. Get a plan and just do it. Don't look, because if you say, "Oh, well, I'll get to it at some point," you'll never get to it. So just decide. Just decide. And I think people should read the Bible first thing in the morning. Just let it be the first thing you do and prioritize God. But maybe that doesn't work for you. Whatever, that's fine. But why don't you choose a time where you say, "This is my appointment I have with God. Every day at this time, in this place, I open up my Bible and I read it." And I invest a small amount of time into a relationship with the God of the universe. Acts 17, look at verse 10. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10, the Bible says this: And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. You know that some Christians could be more noble than other Christians, can be better, can be a higher brand. Say, how do you do that? Well, here's how you do it: in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were in church, so they heard the word, they received it, but that wasn't it. And search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You know that you come to church. I appreciate the fact that I hope you trust me and I hope you love me and we love you. But you know, you ought to be searching the scriptures for yourself to see whether those things are so. And notice it doesn't say that they search YouTube daily. It doesn't say they search Facebook daily. It doesn't say that they search the radio shows daily. They search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And I'm just giving you some areas. You say, "I'm not sure where to be consistent." Okay, well, let me help you. Church attendance, be consistent. Put it on a routine and put it on repetition. Bible reading, be consistent. Make an appointment with God. Have a time and have a place and just do it and just force yourself and do it every day, every day, every day till it becomes a habit. Here's the third one. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, here's the third area for you to be consistent in its prayer. Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Now, I want you to notice the wording here. Notice what Jesus said. He says, after this manner. You see the word manner? We've been talking about the word manner, right? What is it? A prevailing custom. A habit. It's a routine and a repetition. Here we have the Lord's Prayer, the famous Lord's Prayer, and Jesus is about to teach his disciples. They asked him, "Teach us to pray." So he says, "Okay, here's how you do it. I want you to do it after this manner, after this custom, after this habit." This is not something you do once a year on Christmas and Easter. It's something that I want it to be a manner of your life. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we understand that we're not supposed to have vain repetitions, and he speaks about that, and he tells them that they should not do that. Verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." He's given us an example of how we should pray. We should pray reverently to the Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And by the way, that's how we should approach the name of God, with reverence. Amen. He's not the man upstairs. You know, it bothers me when people say, "Oh my God." No, you know, you don't use the name of God as some sort of curse or profanity because you stubbed your toe or something. The Bible says, "Hallowed be thy name." You say, "Oh, well, I do Christian cussing. I don't say, 'Oh my God,' I say, 'Oh my gosh.'" Okay, well, it's a euphemism for God, all right? How about you just treat the name of God reverently? "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." He's teaching, he says, look, when we pray, the first thing we should pray is that God's will is done. We should pray, "Lord, I'm bringing these requests to you, and I'm asking you, I'm going to ask you for some specific things, and I'm going to ask you for some big things. I'm going to ask you to let me walk on water," right, like Peter. I'm going to ask you, "to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." I'm going to ask for some big things, but he teaches us, "But we should be praying that thy kingdom come and that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So when we pray, we say, "Lord, here's what we're asking for, but we want your will to be done." And if your will is for something else to happen, then we ask that that would be, that's the first thing we ask. And then he says this in verse 11. He says, give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? It means that we should pray, that we should pray for our physical needs. There's nothing wrong with praying for your physical needs, for praying for your work situation, your career, your financial situation. He says, give us this day our daily bread. But here's the reason I'm showing this to you is because I want you to notice, he instructed us, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And then he says this, here's what I want you to do. Here's how you should have a custom or a habit of prayer. And then he says, every day you ought to pray for your daily bread. Here's what you should take away from that. God wants you to pray every day. He wants you to pray for your bread every day. He wants you to pray for your physical needs every day. Give us this day our daily bread. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you have to turn there. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Amen. And here's all I'm telling you. Prayer ought to be an area of consistency in your life and in my life. We ought to put that thing on routine and repetition. We ought to come to God on a regular basis. In prayer. Let me give you a fourth area. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, you're there in Luke, I think. You're there in Luke, go. John, Acts, Acts 5. Acts 5, here's an area for you to be consistent in, and it's soul winning. Acts 5, look at verse 42. Acts 5, 42, the Bible says this, and daily in the temple. And daily in the temple. And I don't believe this is a, I don't believe this verse is teaching that we need to be out soul winning, you know, every day. Although you can, of course, be attempting to preach the gospel to people every day as you live your life. You come across unsaved people all the time. So, you should be trying to give them the gospel or give them resources or things, you know. At your job, you shouldn't be preaching the gospel while you're getting paid to work. That's stealing, okay? But, you know, at your break time or your lunch time or before work or after work, as you develop relationships, as the opportunities arise, you ought to be trying to give the gospel. You know, I work here at church. Every time I show up, I'm trying to give Brother Oliver or Brother David or Brother Matt the gospel and praying for them. You know, hopefully they get saved one of these days. And daily in the temple and in every house. Notice, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They cease not. It was a consistent thing. Acts 2, 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Notice what the Bible says. Acts 2, 47. Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church, look at it, daily, such as should be saved. It was consistent. Consistently. You say, well, the Lord added them. Look, the Lord, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. If the Lord was adding to the church, it was because there was people out there preaching the gospel. And here's the thing, I don't expect you or any one individual to be out preaching the gospel every day, but it'd be a great thing if our church got to the place one day where there was somebody from our church out preaching the gospel every day. Where we didn't just have a Thursday soul winning time and a Saturday soul winning time and a Sunday soul winning time, and we got the staff guys out during the week as well. But look, here's what he's saying. There's people being added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 31. Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. Notice what the Bible says. Acts 20, 31 says, therefore watch and remember. Notice what he says. That by the space of 3 years, that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You know, we ought to be consistent in our soul winning time. And people get this idea. They say, oh, I went soul winning for like, you know, a few weeks and nobody got saved. And here's all I'm telling you. There's a cumulative value. There's a cumulative value to investing a small amount of time into any activity over a long period of time. And I realize that sometimes we go into areas and we're trying to knock every door in Sacramento and not every place in Sacramento is receptive. And I get that. And you may go a week or you may go 2 weeks or you may go 3 weeks or you may go 6 weeks without getting somebody saved. And you say, that's not very good. But listen to me. Even if it takes you, even if you only get somebody saved every other month, and you do that for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, you're going to have a lot of people in heaven thanking you. And there's a cumulative value. And there's a cumulative value to investing. You say, oh, well, it doesn't work. Oh, well, it's boring. Well, people don't talk to me. Look, last I heard, they didn't shut down hell. People are still dying and going to hell. Does the gospel still work?
Amen.
Then we need to preach it. Then we need to be consistent at it. We need to put that thing on routine and repetition. You say, well, I work on Saturdays. I can't go Saturdays. I get that. We have a Sunday time. We have a Thursday time. If we can make it work with you, we'll make it work with you. We'll figure it out. But this should be something. This should be something that we put on routine and repetition. Routine and repetition. A consistency in our lives. Because there is a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time into soul winning. And just know this. There's a cumulative consequences as well. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Go to Proverbs 24. Let me give you the last one and we'll finish up. Proverbs 24. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 24. Look at verse 21. Proverbs 24 and verse 21, the Bible says this, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." You know, we ought to have consistency in our life when it comes to our church attendance, and we ought to have consistency in our life when it comes to our Bible reading, and we ought to have consistency in our lives when it comes to prayer, and we ought to have consistency in our lives when it comes to soul winning. But here's another area you should have consistency in your life, and it's when it comes to your standards. You know that you ought to have consistent standards? You know that if the King James Bible is the word, the inerrant, infallible word of God today, you know that it'll still be the inerrant, infallible word of God 5 years from now?
Amen.
You know that if God cares about dress standards and how we dress, and he wants ladies to be modest and dress modestly, and ladies to look like ladies and men to look like men, if he wanted that back in the 50s, he still wants it today. We have to have consistency when it comes to our standards. The Bible says, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Malachi 3:6, you have to turn there. The Bible says this, for I am the Lord, I change not.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And look, when it comes to the standards of our lives, we got to have consistency. And you know, the old IFB, they used to have their 2.5 kid policy. So they could be zealous and get backslidden and nobody noticed. But now in the homeschool group mentality where you've got families and they got 4, 5, 6, 7 kids, you've got enough kids going around there that we can actually just see. It's funny. My wife and I, we know people and we have friends that came from big families. And you can just see watching their kids. Man, you started off real good standards and then you just kind of got down as you went. You know what I mean? I mean, you meet families, they've got 8 kids, 9 kids, and it's like, my firstborn, Jedediah, my secondborn, Jehoshaphat, my thirdborn, Jethro, my fourth, Blake. And it's like, what happened? You like, got backslidden or something? I was like, Matthew and Mark and Luke, Philip, and it's like some trendy name. And it's like, what in the world? And here's all I'm telling you is that you ought to have consistency. You ought to have consistency. Your kids ought to know. They ought to be able to look back and say, "Man, when we were this little, my parents had these standards. And now that we're older and grown, they got the same standards. They're just consistent. They're just consistent with their lives." Here's all I'm telling you. Figure out what you believe. And stand on it. Figure out, and that doesn't mean that we're stubborn, and when the Bible corrects us, we allow the Bible to correct us. But once you've studied it, once you've figured it out, once you realize, here's what God wants, you do it.
Amen.
I am the Lord, I change not. And the Bible says to meddle not with them that are given to change. So when it comes to your standards, live a consistent life, because there are accumulative consequences to neglecting that. And there is a cumulative value to living a life of consistency. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll finish right here. We'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You say, oh, this is all well and good, but I'm more of a shoot from the hip type of guy. Okay. I don't, this whole routine and repetition and organization, that's your thing, Pastor, but, you know, I don't know that that's really required or that's really needed to live for God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, the Bible says this. Moreover, it is required. It's not an option. It is a requirement. In stewards, the word steward simply means the one who manages the resources of another. In your life and in my life, we have been called to be stewards for God. God has given into our care our health, our lives, the resources we have, the money we have, the time we have, the treasure, the talents, the abilities, he's the influence we have. He's given all of that for us to steward. And here's what he says. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So how do I be faithful? Consistency. Routine and repetition. Routine and repetition. In order to be a good steward for God, you must be found faithful. In order to be found faithful, you must live a life of consistency. And here's all I'm telling you tonight, is that there is value in consistency. There's value in consistency. So figure out the areas in your life. And we talked about some spiritual ones. Maybe it's exercise. Maybe it's diet. Maybe it's savings. Maybe whatever it is. Figure out the areas in your life that you need to develop some consistency in and get some routine and repetition in those areas. Because though there is no immediate value, there's a cumulative value at the end of your life. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for these truths, Lord, that you've given us in Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us to just be consistent people. Lord, I realize it's hard sometimes, and we all fail. But Lord, the Bible says that a just man falleth seven times and getteth up again. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be the type of people that just stay at it, stay with it, are consistent. Lord, I pray that you would bless our church. I pray you'd bless us with people that are consistent. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.